Good evening, everyone. This is Marty Ford. The name of the show is You Bow Ready. We're live on bbsradio.com. Coming to you live from beautiful downtown Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsil Wash Station, where you can come into a dry bar and a place with no food to serve you, because you don't need another panini, burger, wrap, or anything else that's loaded with stuff that's going to expand your body. But anyway, we are live here, bbsradio.com. This is Tuesday night, Eastern time zone, so wherever you are, it's either dinner time, coming home from work time, sitting in traffic. Maybe you can have internet in your car radio. I don't know. I'm not that technologically skilled. But we're here, and we have a lot to say and a lot to do and a lot to offer and a lot of things to cover. We are just filled with lots and lots of stuff. And I'm trying to reduce and shrink it, but it seems like it's raisins and rabbits. They just seem to multiply exponentially. So last week, I began, before we get into our usual openings, you know what, we're going to get into our usual openings. Why get out of sync? Now I'm going to be a rebel. I'm going to deviate from our normal procedure and structure here. Last week, I hollered at you about national health care and the way to pay for it through the national lottery, the two-year health lottery. And I went on and did about a 10-minute presentation, which is really all it takes. It's only a two-page write-up, and it's so simple that I don't know why the leaders of the world don't grab this and run with it, because of what's out there is just fearful and frightening and scary, because people don't know what's going on. They go to bed tonight, they don't have health insurance tomorrow, as do doctors who were signed up with as providers, and they're out too. So I don't know what's going on, but we have millions and millions of people in doubt, and when you're in doubt, that's when all the stress levels go up and your body starts to tell you things you don't want to hear. So when I gave the presentation last week, I forgot to include the most important component of it, is that rather than reinventing the wheel, which will be part of tonight's cliche, if I remember it, rather than doing it all over again, sort of a cliche, the infrastructure is there to get this thing going. All we have to do is tweak it, which is another cliche, which was one of last week's cliches as well. I'm guilty of it. I'm sorry. But I try to avoid that, because as we know, when we use cliches, we're just too lazy to think of something more appropriate to say and not that creative in language. And it's also like cursing, which is the same thing, and shock as well. Oh, my God, he said that. So I forgot to tell you about the infrastructure. Infrastructure is there. It's two words. It's Medicare and Medicaid. That's it. It's already there. It's been working for 50 years, I think. And even though it's prime with bribes, graft, corruption, fraud, and scandal, it's still a viable system that pays the medical community and provides care for people who are involved with it. And that's good. All we have to do is just clean it up by 10 or 20%, and we'll save billions of dollars to go on top of the billions of dollars, multiple billions of dollars that are generated by the National Lottery, which is going to pay for this to your health, national health care. So the infrastructure is in place. I read you the numbers last week. If you want to go over them, I don't want to take time again tonight to do it, because I've done it three or four times. I try to do it every 3 or 4 weeks just as a refresher and a reminder, just in case someone's listening out there in a position of power, influence, and status to make it happen, who can make that one phone call. Because remember, you're only two phone calls away from getting to the person you have to talk to make things happen, regardless of what you're doing. Two phone calls, and that's all it takes. And we're hoping to get those phone calls here today at some time. I was moving and a-grooving and shaking and a-baking and dancing and a-prancing by myself, as we do the best. We do things with our bodies and our voices and our souls and our spirits when we're sort of isolated so no one can see us, because we don't want to be ridiculed or criticized or offended by anything someone might say, because we don't want our feelings hurt. And I had my music. I'm grooving with Joe Cocker, when followed by Journey and a little bit of Bill Withers to get the smooth moves going, which is not a laxative, by the way. I added Bill Withers because ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And I know when my wife isn't around, the sun isn't out, because she brightens up my day, my world, and everyone's world she comes into, as do our kids. So it ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's home, thank goodness, and doing whatever she does, the multiple things she does to keep occupied, and it works well for us. I hope it works well for you. We always like to start our show with a little bit of a critical thinking brain buster type activity, because when you're thinking critically, you're making proper decisions. because no one ever went wrong doing the right thing. Much of a cliche as that is. But when you're critically thinking, you're examining what's going on in your world. And part of this show, a big part of the show, as a matter of fact, is attributed to empowerment, your empowerment. Because I know many of you are sitting out there struggling, suffering, and just sitting in a malaise, not mayonnaise, because mayonnaise out there. No, it's not that kind of mayonnaise. You're just sitting in a funk. You're sitting in your stuff, and you got to get up, get out, and get going, and do things that you like to do that make you feel good about yourself, because when you do that, you're making others feel, you have the opportunity to make others feel good about themselves. Because you can't keep everything yourself. You have to give some away to others. And, you know, you should live as large as you want to. And when you die, you should be destitute. So you should give it all away to some deserving folks. Family first. Take care of the family and move on with it. So we want to empower you. We have a lot of things to talk about. First one is critical thinking. Last week's critical thinking brain buster was, how many outs are there in one inning of baseball? How many outs are there in one inning of baseball? And most people just snap right to it. Say, three outs. No, you're done. Next team comes up. That's only half an inning. Think about it. The question was, how many outs are there in an inning of baseball? Well, an inning is half for one team and half for the other, the top and the bottom of the inning. So there are actually six outs in an inning of baseball. So if you're thinking along those lines, you're training your brain to go outside of itself. Not quite yet, because that's one of the cliches tonight. You can get the answers. Tonight's brain buster is a rather simple question. It goes like this. One night, a king and a queen were on a ship. One night, a king and a queen were on a ship. The ship sank. The king and queen died. Who lived? One more time. One night, a king and a queen were out on a ship. The ship sank. The king and queen died. Who lived? Answer next week. I hope you can come up with it. If you're using your critical thinking, you will come up with it, because you have to listen. Listening is a critical part of communication. You know, there's a lot of things, components that go into communication. And it's sad to say, at this day and age, with all the technology and all the education that's out there. By the way, speaking of education, I want to give it a little bit of an East Coast echo out there to all the kids in the country and anywhere else you're listening, because I know this is finals week, because the dorms are closing and the school, colleges and universities are shutting down. The kids are coming home for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks of recuperating from the intense life they live out on campus, in addition to school studies as well. And we want to give a shout out to them and wish them well, and just grind it out, folks. Grind it out. Finish strong, kids. Make yourself proud. Make yourself feel good about yourself, and others in your world will feel that way about you. So finish strong and get out of there and get home safely to be with your families and maybe get a job and earn a few bucks. Always people looking for work. We also want to go on to the communication part out of it. We have so much education. We have so many ways of books that are written, lectures that you can watch it on TV all day, which I hope you don't watch too much because it will brainwash you. But communication is so simple. It's another simple thing, like the National Healthcare Lottery and National Healthcare, a simple thing to do that we mess it all up. You know, there's as many pages as there are in the healthcare Obamacare bill is 10,000 pages or something that no one knows what's in there except the clerks who read it. Maybe each person reads 10 pages and writes a 40-page synopsis about it, gives it to the politician, and they go out and bark all over. They don't know what they're talking about. There's more written about communication. And one thing you have to remember is you cannot not communicate. Everything that you do is a communication, verbal, nonverbal, gestures, voice tone, eye contact, listening, body language. All this stuff blends into it. It just doesn't stand alone. Like things here on You About Ready with Marty Ford live on bbsradio.com. Nothing stands alone. It's all related. It's all connected in the world of your world to empower you. The better you communicate, the easier you communicate, the simple messages that you send without sending a meta message. The meta message is, I love you, really I do. Well, if you're communicating properly and being understood by those to whom you are communicating, you don't need the really I do. You don't need that extra emphasis. The I love you is good enough, that that'll suffice and should sustain the recipient until the next time you say, I love you. You don't need the meta message. So think about your communication skills. Enhance them. It'll empower you. And in turn, you can empower someone else and show them how to effectively communicate without having to sit through hours and hours of classes, seminars, reports and studies and things on TV that make you a better communicator. They're all great. Reagan was the great communicator because he spoke well. They all speak well. That's how they get the job. It's public relations. I guess we miss that point and we just look at somebody else. Boy, they're really great. You're just as good, if not better. So let yourself win. Let yourself be successful. And the more you get of that, the more you're going to feel good about yourself, the better you will do. Oh, I want to give you an update about my good friend Monroe Devro. Monroe is out there in his big rig on the interstate highways in the United States of America. And Lord, we got many of those given to us by President Dwight D. Eisenhower, one of the few military men serving his country that became President of the United States. And Monroe's out there. He's traveling through Hagerstown, Maryland, coming off of, I think it's 81 Interstate, U.S. Interstate. And he's going in through the Cumberland Pass. I think it's known as the Freedom Trail. Monroe just wants to let you know that he's heading on out down through Cumberland, Maryland. He's going into Morgantown and Parkersburg and Clarksburg, West Virginia, on the United States of America Interstate Highway System, given to us by Dwight D. Eisenhower, as I said, and decorated, mind you, decorated by that sweet little old booger Lady Bird Johnson with them free flowers all over the place, fresh flowers, wild flowers. Lady Bird Johnson did that. That's her legacy. Bobby did more for the world than her husband did in the short time he was there, even though he'd gotten there sort of the back door way. But anyway, Monroe's out there. We want to give a shout out to him and hope he calls in and gives us an update about his transportation because he wanting to get home. The weather up here on the East Coast is kind of rough, and Monroe, he done made it through in his big rig and everything, carrying whatever he's carrying. Maybe he dropped his load and he's empty going down the big hills because they've been some steep hills. One of the most beautiful highways in the country. I think it's called the Freedom Trail, and I think it's Interstate 68 coming off an Interstate 70 right outside of Hagerstown, Maryland, and it is beautiful. It is John Denver's Almost Heaven, West Virginia. Get out there and take a peek at that beautiful specimen. It is America at its best. Thank you, Monroe. We'll hear from you again. So we're back to action here, and we have a tidbit of useless information from my vast warehouse and storage facility. Tonight's tidbit of useless information. Geez, I think Monroe's in the room too himself. Did you know that men get hiccups more than women? Right? Men get hiccups more than women. I don't know. I think women blink twice as much as men do. I don't know about that either. But I read it on the internet somewhere in a report and an article, so it must be true. Right? Because we want to believe half of what we see and nothing we hear. So I'm believing half of it. I don't know if it's the hiccups or the blinking that women do more than, or men do more than women on the hiccups and women do more on the blinking. Both a little bit is okay. After a while, they both get disgusting. So anyway, I don't know who studies this. Probably the same person or people who spend taxpayer money doing studies like telling us that 6 out of 10 men do not wash their hands when they use a public restroom at a restaurant, airport, movie theater, mall, etc., etc. Who stands there and watches? What kind of person is that? And how much is he getting paid? And what's going on with that kind of study? Do we need that? Women will tell you that basically men are slobs. But then again, women will tell you that women are worse. Just ask them who's been in the locker room and see what goes on in there. Not that I've been there, nor do I know. Probably don't want to know. Just like I don't know what, I want to know what the kids are doing all the time. Just that they're safe and happy in what they're doing with their lives, moving on and progressing to the next level, which is another cliche. Speaking of cliches, I mentioned them already tonight, and we have to get to them because they are plentiful, plentiful, plentiful. Now, in the past, we've had buku cliches, things like the next level, amazing, at the end of the day. Don't you just hate that when you're watching the TV with the news on it all the time? It's really not news, just filler. At the end of the day, don't you just hate that? Boots on the ground, we talked about. Next level. Amp it up. Pump it up. Ramp it up. throw it up. Mentioned my dog I wanted to get last week. Tweak. Last week was the big tweak, right? Because I used that tonight because we had to tweak the Medicare Medicaid system, just as we have to tweak the National Healthcare Lottery business plan, because it has to be, you know, fine-tuned. Another, you got to get the cobwebs out. You got to shake off the clutter, clean it. But you just got to make it work. Much more simply than those who apologize for this fiasco that the new healthcare system is creating throughout the world, and also the pain, frustration, and ill feelings towards it. So last week we had Tweak and Preaching to the Choir, the pot calling the kettle black. I still don't know what those are. And we had Too Much on Your Plate, and that's literal and figurative, because I think there's too much on our plates, and you don't need all that food. You're eating too much. Just take a look in the mirror. It's ridiculous what's going on down there, and it starts with the kids. But we'll get to that in a little bit, because we want to finish our cliches. We want to try to stay on target, stay on topic, stay focused, because, you know, as soon as you show a sign of not focusing, especially a kid in school, right away the parents are involved, because the kid didn't get a good score in the test. His grades are slipping, goes in to see the teacher. Teacher says, well, little Tommy John here, just not the baseball pitcher. Little Tommy just messed up, or Billy, or whoever the popular names are these days. He messed up because he's staring out in space and he's twiddling his thumbs and whatever he's doing, he's not paying attention. So they take him to get tested, take him to the doctor. Kids gets on medicine and he doesn't need it. What he needs to do is play. And we talk about that all the time on this show, kids in play. They don't do enough of it. I'm not talking about being on a team with uniforms and trophies and goodie bags and tournaments and traveling all over your area within 40 or 50 or 100 miles or cross state lines or whatever. Now, that's not play. That's not even recreation. That's ridiculousness, because people are doing it with their kids and for their kids, but they're actually doing it for themselves, because they want to relive their glory days. Probably many of them didn't have it. And all you do is get the bad behavior. Drives you nuts to see it. We've spoken about that ad nauseum, another cliche, many times on You About Ready with Marty Ford live on bbsradio.com, Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern time zone. So we don't have the kids playing enough. And when they're not playing enough, they're either in front of a screen where they don't need to be, or they're out buying something for their screen where they don't need to be, or they're being kept busy by their families where they don't need to be, when they should be out doing what? Playing. It snowed today here on the East Coast. Anywhere from 2 to 5 or 6 inches, depending on where you live. And I drove past closed schools. Of course, they close when the first snowflake comes down, which is safety first. I understand that. Take the cars and the buses off the road. But I drove past the parks. There's nobody sledding going down the hill on a piece of cardboard, you know, or in a tube, or just rolling down, doing jelly rolls down the hill, making snowmen. Didn't see any of that. They were too busy inside, too afraid to go outside, because we're scared. We don't want our kids out there unless they're super supervised by a host of people who don't really be there anyway, who should be letting the kids play. Schools should let the kids play more. They'd have less commotion and racket and disruption and disturbance and distractions and all the other disses out there, because the kids would burn off energy. That's what they need to do. When are the experts going to realize that? Where is the study, all you credentialed, wonderfully educated, highly educated, well-spoken, well-written, alphabet soup right after your name with all the initials? Where the heck are you saying the simple things like kids need to play, and they don't do enough of it? And what are you going to do? Let's create play for the kids. No, let the kids create play. They do it best when they do it themselves. Empower them. The reason you don't want to empower your kids is because you're not empowered. You're enabled. You have babysitters, not just a person, but things to do. Indoor activities on a beautiful day. Get the kids out. Let them ride their bikes, their skateboards, their scooters. Let them build. I haven't seen a kid build a scooter. I don't know how long. Maybe ever. Our kids didn't do it, right? Although we were always out playing, hiking, swimming, biking, running, jumping, bouncing, doing whatever they wanted to do. At a park, maybe with other kids, right? Which is nice. Maybe I'm sitting on a bench 50 feet away. Maybe I'm playing ball at the park because the guys are there. Hey, there was no pickup ball tonight. Why? Schools were closed. The snow was here. Everything shut down. Got to wait till Thursday. And I missed my Tuesday game. Got to wait till Thursday. Had my Sunday soccer game with a different bunch of guys who are all kind to the old and feeble, and they let me play, even if I don't bring the ball. But I missed my Tuesday night burn, the sweat, the banging bodies, the camaraderie, the sports babble, the gibberish that goes on, the just being there, watching guys play, watching and being and playing and maybe doing something that I normally don't do, right? Going outside of my game and contributing to the team and being part of something, part of a whole. I missed that tonight, and so I took a long walk with my wife, who I said before is wonderful and cooperative and willing and an active participant in many things herself. So I missed my game, so I don't have that edge on tonight, you know? I'm not aching, and I'm not in pain, and I'm not all swollen. So I'm able to stand up, and I was dancing to my music, because you know, with my music, I got more soul than I can control. And that's the way I roll every day, all day. Because music sometimes, especially on Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock live Eastern Time Zone on bbsradio.com with my show You Bout Ready, sometimes I feel good about myself when I do it. Sometimes I need some butter, I get on such a roll. I don't know where I'm going with that, but we're going to cliches. This week's cliches, I mentioned one, think outside the box. Well, if you're in a box, you ain't doing much thinking. You're not with us anymore. You're below grade. You're submerged. And it's not good. So I don't know how you can think when you're in that box. Well, I don't know what it means, but it's another cliche that we just throw in there and throw out there and use. Everybody says, okay, yeah, let's think out the box and all that stuff. So forget it. Why don't you just get creative? Why don't you become empowered and just do something as opposed to just talking about something? Those who can do, those who can't or won't or don't want to, talk. The next thing has to do with the guns in America. Wow, you dodged a bullet there. Dodged a bullet there. Whoa, watch out, you dodged a bullet. Man, I don't want to dodge bullets. We did that in basic training, the live rounds going over your head. I don't want to do that. I think we fired live shots. I was a terrible shot. I was in the military. I was not what you, I don't want to, you don't want me protecting you because I couldn't. I grew up in the city, so we're on the firing line. And the guy says, ready on the left and ready on the right, ready on the firing line. We have our M16s, magazine in, bullet in the chamber. Commence firing. Click, click, you fire. I think there's 60 rounds in a clip back in those days, I forget. Anyway, they pulled in my sheet and I was all over the place. I only had about 15 hit the target. The others went all over the place, stray bullets flying all over. And the sergeant looked at me. He said, show me your position and your posture. So I'm right-handed, but I closed the wrong eye, right? I closed the right eye. I should have closed the left eye. When I closed the left eye and got another clip in there, I hit about 48 out of 60. Still not any good because they were just hitting the target, no bullseyes, some in the circles and so forth. But we had them good old boys who could take a squirrel out of 500 yards with a pea shooter. They were hitting everything. Those are the guys you want carrying weapons because they've been doing it since they're kids, just like they've been driving tractors and four-wheelers and trucks when they got a little bigger. They've been doing it since they're kids. They respect it. They don't abuse it. They know how to care for it. They treat it like a kid because that's protection for them and empowers them. They're not the ones going out shooting up everybody, shooting up the malls or the schools or wherever the public goes. We don't have to have, you know, security at the Super Bowl this year. It's in New Jersey, I think, which is really New York, because both New York football teams play there, but they play in New Jersey. They're not allowing tailgating. You got to eat in your car and then go in the stadium. You can arrive there 4 hours. You're going to sit in your car. There's no tables, no grills, no anything. Cost of security, right? Well, that's the new age we live in, right? And it's terrible because it takes away some of the pleasure and the fun and the spirit of the eventful day, even though the Super Bowl Sunday can be very damaging to many women because I had a friend many years ago who told me that, and she worked at the battered women's shelter and said Super Bowl Sunday was the worst because the men get all juiced up all day, drinking, partying, tailgating, not tailgating. They're not chasing their tail at home. They're just at the end of the car or the truck or the SUV or the Winnebago or whatever they're doing. And the game doesn't start till 6:30. And by 9 o'clock, they're just done. And somebody says something like, who didn't clean up in the bathroom if you're watching it at home? Or who didn't do this? Or why did you do that? And boom, right away, there's a physical attack and it's no good. So it's a great day for our American history and culture. It's part of our society and we look forward to it, but there's a dark, ugly side to it, just as there are dark, ugly sides to everything. I'm wearing my Auburn hat tonight because if you want excitement, if you want energy, if you want action, if you want spirit, if you want to live and to be alive and to have your blood flowing, watch these kids play. Remember, they're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, maybe 23, I don't know. Some grad students who were fifth-year seniors, they work that stuff out, or a kid was injured, he's redshirted. That's okay. Whatever the heck it is, watch these kids perform. Under a microscope, every move they make is watched by multiple, multiple cameras, just as every move you make out on the streets in your neighborhood is photographed a dozen or more so times a day, whether you're going to the bank or the school or the mall or the gas station or the post office or anywhere. There's cameras all over, even on the traffic lights, watching your every move. And I guess we need it in many parts of the world, country and the world, because we can't trust people to be honest, law-abiding, humble, nice people. And so we have to protect ourselves. And that's part of what the gun is. So these guys in the service were just marksmen because that's how they grew up. They don't live in fear of their gun. They respect it. They take care of it, as I said. And it's a wonderful thing. And we need those folks. They're not the ones doing all the damage. We got to get the marijuana people out of jail. These folks ain't carrying anything. They won't even carry on. They'll karaoke. They might even carry Grant, watch a movie. I don't know. But they're not going to cause the destructiveness out there on the streets as the people who need to be taken away from our society, removed, not taken away, removed, and placed in a place where they are safe to themselves and others so they don't cause the damage. And we're sick and tired of hearing all the excuses that are given for these folks because they didn't take their meds, they didn't go to their group therapy, which doesn't work, as the meds don't work because they don't take them, and they didn't have a birthday party, they didn't get picked for the team, they made the last out, or whatever's going on, and we're tired of that stuff. We don't want to hear that stuff anymore, folks. Let's get them in a place that's safe for them and even safer for us. Whatever it costs, we'll pay. And the sad part of it, the people who operate those kind of facilities are paid so poorly that they don't stay, and the downward spiral continues. And it's a prime example of the inmates running the asylum or whatever they call that. Another cliche from years ago. I don't know how I got onto that, but I was talking about, the cliches we had tonight. So we had think outside the box. Remember, if you're in a box, you can't think because you're dead. You want to dodge the bullet. And then with also the bullets are so prevalent in our society. Why do we shun them so much? You know, the guns don't kill. Bullets do. If you take away the bullets, the guns are useless unless you're going to throw it at somebody or beat them, which has happened horribly. Like all the stuff that's going on out there. Knockout is a game that kids play in a gym with a basketball, and it's a process of elimination for basketball. It's a great skill teaching technique, not something to be used by random people who should be attacking random people in herds like wolves out in Yellowstone, which were reintroduced. We got to keep the wolves in Yellowstone, but we have to get rid of the people who are ruining our society and making it putting fear in people's brains and in their souls so they don't let their kids out. So the kids can play by themselves without all the grown-ups yelling, screaming, badgering, harassing, and doing everything else to ruin the event for the kid. You know, a lot of kids are embarrassed by the behavior of their parents. So let's get rid of that element and clean up the streets, and we'll have a nice place for kids to play. When kids play, they're cool. They're fun. They're energized. They burn off their energy. They are not the pain in the necks we think they are. We make them to be. We create the monsters, oh young Frankenstein. What the heck are we doing medicating middle school and elementary school kids? They don't have the problem. We do. So lighten up on the kids, folks. Let them be kids. Structure their life, but unstructure it too, that they have enough time to be with people they want to be, their peers, their neighbors, their schoolmates or classmates, and let them play and let them coexist with intergrade, not integrate. We have integration in some places, and it's great. Because if you grow up in vanilla, and if you don't get into a world that offers you diversity, where you can learn about other cultures and people and foods and music and clothes and dance and culture and values and all the things that other people have, then you're going to grow up the same way and be one of the, you're going to grow up to be the vanilla person with the white hair, controlling the money in the world, wearing penny loafers, no socks, tailored jeans, a sweater wrapped around your chest with the sleeves folded in front of you. You're going to be one of those guys. And those guys are corrupt. Those guys are awful. They take as much as they think you want, they think they give. They're terrible. They don't want anything else to get in their way. They got theirs, they want to keep theirs, and they want more, and they end up taking from us. Let's get some real folks out there. Let's get the cities built up. Let's get people out there doing the right thing for themselves and for others, empowering them, giving them tools, and letting them manage their lives without all this intervention, without rules, so many rules and regulations and testings and places like the NCAA, who I think took away a $10,000 prize from a kid who hit a half-court shot at a basketball game, and he was going to win $10,000, and the NCAA, the NCAA came in, and they he might not, oh, it's $20,000. He might not get his $20,000 because he's a college athlete. Big deal. Well, who cares? What if he was a janitor? What if he was a bus driver? What if he was a professor at a college? What would that matter? So he can't have an opportunity to enjoy and have fun. You're taking away his fun. The kid made a one in a million shot, and you're taking it away. Who the heck is the NCAA, the BCS, the SAT? Who are these people out there that just rule without nobody knowing who they are? They're never visible. They're not in public. They're not on TV. They're not in the news, except when they do stuff like this. The BCS got so bad, I think it's been around 15 years or so, they're getting rid of it. Everybody hates it. Even the guys on the Sports Bible Talks during their 5-hour pregame show and a three-hour postgame show after you watch a 4-hour game, they're saying that the BCS should go. And it is. I think this is the last year, and they'll come up with another system. Hopefully, the BCS people will not be involved in decision-making policies and procedures with the new system, whatever it is. I think it's a playoff system of some kind. And you know what should happen? And so give the kid his $20,000 NCAA, and don't investigate everyone who gets a perfect score SAT, like you just did to a girl in South Jersey, I think, when she got a perfect score, because historically her scores were much lower. Maybe she got smarter. Maybe the money her parents spent on the extra education helped her. Who knows? But let the kid go. Why ruin a life? Someone succeeds, and you want to set them up to fail. That's what happens when we have all this oversight. Anyway, so we should pay the athletes in college. They're out there. They're putting their lives on the line. Pay these kids. Don't make them do stupid things. But that's not a stupid thing. Don't make them do things to get a few bucks so they can have a pizza, put some gas in their car, and help their family pay rent. Pay the kids. There's enough money out there, right? If you want to call in and comment on anything we're talking about tonight on U-Bot Radio on bbsradio.com with Marty Ford live, the number is 888-627-6008. You know, I am the original American Idol, if you didn't know that. I am the not spelled differently. Remember, the English language is the hardest language in the world to learn. We only have 26 letters, and I don't know why it's Lima Peru and Lima Bean, and you polish your nails, but you're a Polish person from Poland. But I am the original American Idol, and that's what I do, standing here. I'm idling like a car in neutral. So much for that. I think what we have to do with kids to get their brains working, it's a great game. I only know a little bit. I can teach beginners the way my wife teaches beginners piano. You know, she's not going to take them to Carnegie Hall or wherever the Juilliard School or any other fancy place, but she'll get them started, and someone else can take them to the cliche, the next level, right? But we need somebody to get us started. I can get kids started doing things that will be lifelong lessons. Strategic planning, right? Thinking, critical thinking, organization. Seeing the big picture of the whole place, not just one segment, that's part of critical thinking. All you have to do is teach them how to play chess. Great game. Teach it when they're young. They learn it. Just like language. Don't wait till they're in 7th and 8th grade to teach them a second language. They're going to struggle with it. Teach them in elementary school. Teach them in preschool. Teach them at home, parents. Teach your kids how to play chess. Teach them how to play blackjack, too. That's a cool game. But because it teaches them numbers and adding. and counting. Nothing wrong with that. Because kids who go to school prepared with their numbers, letters, shape, colors, animals, all they can recognize all that stuff and link it and put it together, like the big blue ball, right? The four big blue balls, they have alliteration in language, they have shapes and colors and numbers all linked together, which is what children's books are all about. They're prepared, they're ready, so the teacher doesn't have to struggle to keep everybody even, right? They're starting on a level playing field. Hey, another cliche. Wow, we just can't get away from them damn things, can we? They're all over the place. But give the teacher something to work with, and they'll take your kids well beyond any place you could ever imagine. If you don't tie their hands with all the restrictions and you don't make them teach to the test, SAT, here we go, same thing, standardized test. Let the kids play, have them develop and keep an open mind, which you can teach them if you have critical thinking on your side, you are empowered, and you have an open mind, right? If you have those things and give to your kids, the next generation will be able to take care of you, and so on, and so on, and so on. So teach your kids chess, right? The skills and life lessons, planning, strategy, thinking, flexibility to change plans. You, the kid makes a move, thinks it's great. You counter with a move. Oh, kid's got to change plans. Thinking on his feet, not outside the box, in the box, because chess is basically a square box. Maybe it's a rectangle. I don't know. So they make changes. They patience, even though as they get older, they're going to have that box. They got to hit the timer. Boom. Watch those guys on TV. Boom, boom, boom. It teaches them a little bit of patience, which is good. And they control their emotions. What do? They learn communication skills. They become great poker players. They don't want to show emotion. No guttural utterances, no body language showing frustration or anxiety or I can't wait to get to my next move, right? They hold on to those things. That's part of patience, right? No signals. They're not giving off away their play, just like a good card player doesn't give away their hand with signals and body language, right? So as I said, they see the whole board, not just a small piece, and they learn about maneuvering, going left, going right, coming back, going forward, going on an angle. So you can get to the same destination. I was with three kids today, all struggled with life, big time, all had major issues, and they are in what we call recovery, and they've accepted the fact that they're going to be in recovery the rest of their life. And they all have goals. They all have dreams. They all have ambitions now that they're moving towards those. But the reality is they're all going different ways. One's taking the turnpike. One's taking the beautiful U.S. interstate highway in the great United States of America. And one kid's taking the back roads. Doesn't matter what road you take. Get to your goal. Get to your goal. And if you're going down one road and it doesn't work, switch, right? Switch your mode of travel. Take the alternative. Go another way. Did I mention I keep meaning to join the Procrastinators Club, but I keep putting it off? I just can't get to that thing. There's so much to do, so much to talk about, so much energy and life to build into your world out there so that you can become empowered and someday maybe you'll do this, right? That would be a great thing. Now, one thing that's a disgrace, an absolute disgrace. I think last Saturday was December 7th, 1941, 72 years ago. Not one mention. I came down early to watch the 8 o'clock a.m. news on Saturday morning before I went grocery shopping. I watched it for a half hour, 40 minutes. Not one mention of Pearl Harbor attack. Not one. Got a couple of newspapers. Nothing. One had in that little column on the inside second page, this day in history. Right? Right. So that's what they mentioned. And I talked to one source. He said, well, we didn't have an angle to cover it. What the heck kind of angle do you need to cover one of the most eventful world-changing events in the history of whatever we're around? What do you need that? Why do you need that? You just put it out there. Today, we're remembering, commemorating, observing, whatever you want to do. I know there's not a lot of people around from that era. Many in their 80s, 90s, and 100s who are around, and we don't recognize that because we want to put them off somewhere so someone else can do what we should be doing. But not one mention of it, and that's a disgrace. No media coverage, right? A day of infamy. Kids probably don't know who the president was back then. I don't know if they teach it in history class, right? Or they might not even know who attacked us, let alone who was president. It's a sad, sad event last Saturday, because when you forget, it's going to happen again. Similar to when you forgive somebody, they're going to do it again, right? Someone does something to you, and they say, oh, man, I'm sorry, you know, it wasn't my day. I'm having a bad day. I didn't have a birthday party. I didn't have a birthday cake, and I'm sorry. It won't happen again. Oh, I forgive you. Boom. Next time they're having need, they're going to do it again. So be careful with that, how you hand out your forgiveness. It's not a thing that you want to be delicate and sensitive and careful with it. Don't just randomly do it. And the way that works is, what they're looking for is the bully mentality when we forget that stuff. They expect to be forgiven, right? Like politicians who want to get reelected after they got caught lying, stealing, and cheating from us, and cheating mostly on their ever-forgiving wives, if they're still with them. Case in point, most recently, the big three, Filner, Spitzer, and Wiener. Historically, going back a few years, Clinton and whoever else is out there. But they're out there, and actually, if the women of the world would ever write their memoirs, we'd have a lot of things coming out that maybe people don't want to hear, especially those who were involved with it. But they won't, because they'll keep them well kept, right? I hope. Like rice, I can be white, yellow, brown, and wild. Never cared too much for style. More concerned with the head, heart, and gut. When the three work together, you'll not be in a rut. Lose the carbs, especially pizza, in and out of the hut. You'll get slimmer, even your butt. Become empowered, not a me too. Forget about blaming. Your best bet yet? Shake the hand and thank a military vet. You'll have not the slightest regret. Depressed? Like all the rest, get up, get out, get going, get dressed. You'll be a success. Don't settle for second best. Put yourself to the test. Thanks, Madonna. Here's a footnote on that. When you're using and abusing, you'll always be losing. So get up, get out, get going, do something. Fight the enemy of the people, which is what? Boredom. We talked about it the past couple of weeks, and I've given you a dozen or so things to think about that maybe will click in your head that will allow you to go out, to get up, get out, get going, become empowered, do something you want to do. Perhaps. We'll give a few more tonight from my book. I have three books. First one's about empowerment. It's called Power Up Your Power. Very simple, short, quick read. All of them are quick reads. I don't want to give you 10,000 pages. You'll never finish it, nor could I do it. Second book is Things to Do to Fight Boredom, The Enemy of Us All. And the third one I'm reading, I have is G-Verb, get up, get out, get going. It's about kids and play, and we talk about that every once in a while on the show, as part of the show. It's not once in a while. It's always part of the show, blended in with all the other insanity and silliness that goes on around here. Because remember, insanity is just a state of mind. It keeps it from going crazy. So you might want to take a class of interest to you at night school, a community college, or a local university. Some learn something that knew that you've always been interested in, but never took the time because you were busy, right? Keeping everybody else busy and not letting them play. Take a course to enhance what you already know, or a class that may help you help others. Participate and be active. The time will go. You'll enjoy it. You'll have fun. Plan a vacation. Even the best ones are one-day trips, right? Or half-day trips. By yourself, maybe, or with a friend while the kids are in school or you have nothing to do that day. Go to familiar places, but be open to new adventures. Take a risk. Put yourself out there. If you don't like the city, go to a city. Research it now. All the information is right there in front of you on the electronic rectangle that we stay in front of too much, but find something in there. All kinds of things to do. Whatever you do, keep an open mind. Keep the word no out of your vocabulary. Only if you... when it comes to stuffing your face with things you don't need, like six-pound burritos. You can say no to that, right? Very easily. Go and find a bingo game. Participate. Watch the competitive juices flow, because you have them. Even though you're not competitive, you think you're passive and you're not too aggressive or assertive, go to a bingo game and let the game you're playing, whether it's a a corner game or a regular bingo or a diagonal or all the card, what do they call that? I don't know. You'll see when it gets close, you're going to want to win, especially because many of the prizes are money. Money's a great motivator. Participate in a community event where you live, in your town or a town or two over. There's always stuff going on, and they all have websites, www.townwhereveryoulive.org or net, whatever it is. Find stuff to do, become involved. There's always something going on. Attend your house of worship for a weekly service, not just the two times a year, at Easter and Christmas, or whatever the holidays are in your religion. Go for something else. There's always things going on where you meet and interact with people and get away from people like Nancy Grace screaming at you by herself and the other guys with five screens, faces on there, all talking at the same time, setting poor role models for our kids. You should be getting up, getting out, and getting going, doing something for yourself away from that stuff. It's useless. It's mindless. It serves no purpose, only to fill time. Because that's the purpose of 24-hour news shows and places, things like that. They're filling time, and you're stupid enough to watch it. Yeah, I'm calling you stupid, because you're not doing anything for yourself. You're wasting your time, right? Go to a park or playground. Do something active. Yeah, that's all part of getting up, getting out, getting going. We're too fat. We're too obese. We're too lazy. We're too apathetic. All you got to do is take a walk for a half an hour once a day, and when you get good at it, go twice a day. Nothing wrong with that. You'll feel good about yourself. Throw a frisbee, slide down the slide, be a kid. Live, laugh, love, learn, listen. Do all these things, right? Feel the breeze in your face. Ride your bike to the park or playground or walk to the park or playground. Take a ball with you to kick or throw or shoot. There's so much to do outside of your world within that frame of the rectangular electronic brainwashing machine. That has, and the other thing, the little older one, the smaller rectangle, is that cell phone. Put that damn thing away. Excuse my mouth. I couldn't even take a walk the other day with some friends, and every 10 feet they're stopping to take a picture of a tree, of another tree. I don't know what the hell they're doing. Of the sky. Just get yourself, what are you, with that phone, and it's clicking in their back pocket. Beeps means they got a message, and they're stopping in the middle of a nice walk in nature where there's power and refreshment and spiritual awakening and opportunity, and they're stuck with their cell phone because they have to respond now. And the guy who started that was Jason, the Red Ranger on the Power Rangers, which I love because there are pictures of him right here in Bozo's Bar and Grill at Tonsawa Station. I have a lot of the toys. They're my kids, but I like the Power Rangers. Anyway, Jason, when he got in trouble and he was needed, not him, but when there was trouble in the park, the head guy, Zordon, would call and say, "Jason, we need the Rangers in the park." And Jason would respond by saying, "We need dinosaur power now. We need it now. Everything has to be now. Kids walk around saying, 'I need it now. Give me my meds now, because I'm crazy without my meds.' And parents give it to them. Instead of saying, 'Hey, back off, calm down, go for a walk, go out and kick a ball, climb that tree, swing on the swing, do something.' But we have this need to have everything immediately, right now. No patience, right? Except when you're in your car and traffic is bothering you and you're getting a little nervous, you're ready for road rage, and you see the power of one within sight. He's there, or she, mostly the he's. They're out there. Who? The police. The power of one. Put one policeman in a corner, visible, put his car there with him in it or not, maybe the lights are going, and everything calms down. The pace slows. And then after you pass them and everything is cool and you find out, then you quicken up, right? You accelerate and you get back to, but you're cleared of the bottleneck that you're in, right? That's why they always put police at construction sites, especially on the highways. Major highways in the United States of America always need construction because the big rigs with Monroe Devereaux eating them highways up every year. So they put a lot of money in there. That's good. That's where our taxes go. Build the infrastructure. Keep it strong. That's where the money is needed, partially, and to take care of the people. Take care of the highway. I'll tell you what, if you took care of the roads and bridges and all that, the way you take care of the, if you took care of the people, the way you took care of the infrastructure, which lately has been under a lot of repair, which is much needed, we'd all be a lot better off. But put one policeman there to protect the workers, and he's standing all day, in the rain, if it and it happens, or in the hot sun, and he's out there just watching cars go by and protecting. You know, if I was a policeman, I think that would be boring work, right? But it's good work. It's much needed. They're trained for that. They direct traffic. They keep everybody calm. And if they get out of control, he calls for backup. And they get rid of that person who is causing the commotion. Very simple, right? We need them at the airports, too, because people are rude and crude there as well. So, things to do. Get out of the house. Forget being bored. And you'll feel good about yourself. Speaking of recovery, the privileged are out there. I just saw something about a young lady. Sad, sad family situation. But she's been enabled all her life as Michael Jackson's kid, in and out of rehab, and that's the way she's going to live her life. Because everyone, because of her name, because of her history, and her fame and notoriety, this kid's messed up for life. Guarantee. I don't know. She has to get away from that. Because if she stays the same environment with everybody telling her how wonderful she is, and let's do this and let's go there, and doesn't become empowered because she's been enabled all her life, sad to say, losing her father as a young age, whether or not he was involved with her life at all, I don't know. It's not what I'm talking about. But because she has been enabled with fame and celebrity and notoriety and media all over her, watching every step she takes, because of all that, it's going to be, and the fact that she probably has a lot of money, not yet, because I think she's still young, I don't know, but she's going to go to all these expensive, exclusive, private boarding schools, rehabs, whatever you want to call them, that the average person can't get to, only because of economics. And it's a sad waste of a person's life, when she should be out, what, playing with kids, being a kid, painting her face, jumping in a puddle with brand new sneakers on like our kids do to make us crazy. But they're isolated, and folks like that have a miserable time. But someone's making a lot of money off her. Who? Well, the luxury celebrity rehabs with quilts and five-star chefs. I don't know if chefs on the TV, all they do is run around crazy. I don't want anybody chopping onions so fast they're going to lose a finger. And competitions. When did food become competition? It's food. You eat it. We eat too much of it. Because we're not getting up, getting out, and going, it sticks with us. So I'd like to see a size large of yesteryear, 20, 30 years ago, versus a size large today. They're not the same, right? I think the manufacturers see that, and they say, well, we don't want any, nobody's a large. Nobody wants to be an extra large. So everybody wants to be a medium or a small. Well, it doesn't work that way anymore, folks. We're eating too much. This poor kid is sad. What she really needs to do is have love and nurturing and family and a home, not a place to live, like a house. There's a difference. We mentioned it before on our many differences here. A house is not a home. People like this, especially the rich ones who are privileged in life for accidents of birth, are going to live in that kind of environment, unloved and only nurtured because of the economic situation that they're in. Very sad. Very sad. So, race relations is always a good topic to talk about. I like talking about race relations. I mentioned it before. Do you ever watch a team? Right? Do you ever watch a team? There's black guys and white guys. And you know what? When they're winning and things are good, they get along. And when things aren't getting so long, it's not that they get along amongst themselves. They infight amongst themselves no matter what color they are. It's the beauty of the sport, the competition, the passion and desire, these gifted and skilled and chiseled athletes who are nurtured from the young age to develop into these the most desirable, envied people out there. Every kid in the stadium wants to be out there making the big catch, throwing the ball, kicking the winning field goal, hitting the home run, scoring the winning goal in the seventh game of the Stanley Cup playoff, right? They want to do that. And if you haven't had that experience, you don't know what I'm talking about. I shared a bottle of 60-cent Rock Gut Thunderbird wine overseas, and I was the only white guy on the defensive team. And I was challenged when the bottle was passed the first game, because we were a tight unit. I remember those guys. I love them like brothers. 40 years ago, I know their names. I have a list of their names. Been trying to find them. By the way, we do have a website. It's called www.connectwithveterans.com, and it's a place where veterans can sign up. Any veteran from any war or conflict or police action, however it was defined when you were in, can sign up, put on all your personal information. It's on the website. It's only one or two pages. Click the button and you're in. It costs $25, and I'll tell you why. $25 to sign up, $10 registration fee, renewal fee every year. What does that do, the money? First of all, it helps pay for the website, which is not a lot of money. The rest of the money is all going to deserving vets. And I'm not a nonprofit. You got to trust in your environment. I don't want to go through the bureaucracy and all the stuff of being one of those. I know who I am. I've done nonprofit work before, giving out stuff that I've raised for my Santa Claus campaign with my family, and I mentioned that before. And I mentioned connectwithveterans.com before. Because if you like your freedom, you got to thank a vet. And when we didn't recognize our veterans from World War II the other day, you know, it's a sin. It's sad. It's abysmal that we didn't do that for all our veterans, right? So get, if you know veterans, if you are a veteran, sign up. Find your buddies. That's what it's about, to find your buddies. We all want to connect. There's multi ways of doing that in social media, but there's no one unique and specific just for military personnel. And a lot of times, especially in the modern days, when guys are suffering, women too, and struggling with post-traumatic and health issues and all, you need to connect with the people you shared the most important and critical time in your life. You wore that uniform. You have the common ground. So connecting with them. With Skype today and email and Facebook and all the other ways to connect, even the airplanes or get in the car, and you meet each other and you're with each other and you relive those memories. The population at the places like the American Legion are going down, right? It's just a lot of guys from World War II who were there, some of them, Korea, Vietnam, and so forth. We're all getting older right now. This is for everybody to connect, because you sit in a lodge like that and you talk with a guy who you didn't serve with, although you have common ground of serving, and you're talking about what? Your buddies, each of your buddies, and where the heck are they? Let's connect these guys. Let's get them connected. Do something good. Sign up a vet, tell a vet, and let's get all these veterans connected. So back to race relations for a minute. If you've played on a team, you know this, right? They don't see color. They see a teammate. They'll all hug and embrace and criticize and even ridicule each other for the love of the game, for the competition, for the spirit of the game, and most of all, for winning. Because, you know, it don't mean a thing if you ain't got that ring. And a championship ring in any sport is something you take with you the rest of your life. Hopefully, you don't have to sell it because you're in need, because the NCAA is coming down hard on you because you took a dollar from an alumni. And think about some pros, probably great guys. They don't have that ring. They can't sit in a chair with their grandchildren going, they have pictures. They have tapes. They have everything, but they don't have that ring to put on their finger to show. And it's just the luck of the draw sometimes. You get the right chemistry, right guys on the right team, and you get that ring. Then you disband and move on. But I think of some guys like Patrick Ewing, who I watched, who was just a working man, just tremendous athlete, and doesn't have a ring. Stockton Malone from out in Utah. These are basketball guys. Barry Sanders, football. Quiet man, played on terrible teams. In today's world, he might have gone on to five or six other teams as a free agent, but he stuck it out, and he stayed there, and he doesn't have a ring, and it's sad. So many, many other players don't have that ring, and it's a great thing when you do achieve success at any level. But these guys are special. It's almost like they're bred, and they're wonderful entertainment. They provide, as I said in the beginning, I'm wearing my Auburn hat, because of the excitement and the energy and the spirit that they give to us, right? It's like an artist. When an artist creates art, whatever it is, a painting, a sculpture, a drawing, anything, a written work, a musical piece, you always, always, just like you should shake the hand of a veteran to thank them for your freedom, that you can do what you want to do that's legal and legit and appropriate, and live your life on your terms and have opportunity all your way, you better thank somebody, and you better pay your taxes too, because without defense, as any athlete will tell you, without defense, we have nothing. We're vulnerable. Even with defense, we're vulnerable. So we need more of it, which is probably why we're not tailgating at this year's Super Bowl, which I hope the blizzard doesn't come that's forecast by Farmer's Almanac, especially when a team is the underdog maybe lesser skill, not as much talent, not as big physically, not as well known or something like that. And they come up and they go from worst to first. Every year there's stories about worst to first. I've been a part of a couple of those. It's the greatest feeling in the world, right? I've been on teams in pickup basketball. I was just on one last Saturday. Oh, we got our Saturday game in. So I'm up to three times a week with basketball in the winter and once a week with soccer. I was on a team. I looked around. I said, who the heck is going to score? We had one bona fide scorer and three good, fair players, and then me, the flunky out there. And you know what? We won. We played a seven. We won 7-6. The true player, the real player out there, scored, I think, four of the baskets. And one guy scored one guy scored another, and one guy, another guy. So four out of the five guys scored, except me. But I was out there contributing the little that I do to make the team a whole, right? Doing the basic, simple things that I can do, because I'm really not a shooter and a scorer. That's a mindset. A shooter and a scorer has it in their head that every shot they take is going to go in, whether it's hockey. Every time a baseball player comes up, he's getting a hit. Every time a basketball player takes a shot, it's going in. Every time the quarterback throws or the running back runs, it's a touchdown. That's the mindset you have to have, right? It's wonderful. But it comes together in unity. It has no color. Watch it. Become part of it. Embrace it, love it, and enjoy it. It's a great thing to have in your world. I mentioned about the guys in the penny loafers with tailor jeans and no socks and the sweater. These are the privileged private school politician types, like the Romney kid who had his picture taken in front of that, I think, car accident on the highway, acting as if he was helping and smiling along the way, as we're told that he actually helped and provided assistance. Who knows what the truth is? But, you know, Frank Burns on MASH many years ago got a Purple Heart. And Hawkeye, the rebel, the maverick, the alter ego, said, yes, Frank got his Purple Heart for a shell fragment. And, of course, you're led to believe that it's a bullet or a shell from a big gun. But as it turned out, it wasn't. It was an eggshell fragment in the mess hall. And he put in for the Purple Heart. He put shell fragment, and he got his Purple Heart. Well, you got to watch the language. You got to watch how people say things and don't say things when they're talking to you. Half of what you see and nothing you hear. You'll be fine. You know, the eggshell thing goes along with, yeah, I want to get married, just not to you. How would you like to be the recipient of that? Which I know firsthand, 30 years ago, 35 years ago, a guy did that to a girl, and it was the most god-awful thing I heard. My heart went out to that kid, the girl. It was terrible. And this guy was boasting about it. What a dirtbag he is. Because our tongue is so wicked and so evil, we let those things happen, and we don't do anything about it. But you know what? What goes around comes around, and all things even out. With communication, we talked about that a little bit. I just want to finish up a little bit. I see your lips moving, Unc, but I don't hear a damn word you're saying. Thank you, Rudy Ray Moore. We do that all the time. We listen. We don't hear. We don't take it in, right? We have no way of really controlling what we communicate. We're just out there randomly, right? And that's not good. I mentioned you cannot not communicate and all the things that go along there before. And I don't understand parts of communication, especially with social media. We communicate, we show people, our kids, doing things at a birthday party. Or, you know what, with all these pictures on, you know, the social media, I don't really care what you had for lunch or what your table looks like. No one needs to know that stuff. It's ridiculous. It's almost like filler. So get away from the screen, get up, get out, get going, and keep your kids' pictures off the TV. If security is so tight everywhere and you're afraid to send your kid to the park by themselves, why are you putting your kids' pictures on social media for everyone to see? And maybe your town where you live is somewhere in your profile, whatever it's called out there. We are so stupid as a society. We don't even know what we're doing because we're brainwashed. Just because it's here, it's safe. Wrong. Just because it's here, it's not safe. Wrong. Friend of mine is looking to switch jobs. He's got an opportunity in another state. He did some research and found that, whoa, the crime rate is very high there, right? Incidentally, I just read today that The two of the top three colleges for crime are in Philadelphia, University of Pennsylvania, and Temple University, right? Temple University in North Philly, one of the toughest neighborhoods in the country, whatever that means. Probably crime statistics will verify that. And University of Pennsylvania in West Philly, my hometown. I'm a graduate of Temple University. I've known people who have gone to University of Penn and had no problem. And I've also known some who've had problems. So for someone to come out and rate two Philadelphia schools, you know, it goes back to the W.C. Fields impression that is long-lasting about Philadelphia. And I don't want to repeat that because it's an insult to my hometown where you can get tremendous soft pretzels and cheesesteaks, but not too many of them. Not too many of them. I'm glad to see that North Korea has finally come into the 21st century and they got caught out there with selling drugs, which is the way they finance everything out there. I think the world leader of manufacturing of crystal meth, which is really good for people who are in recovery, another opportunity. Maybe it's the North Koreans who are supplying all this, and all the labs that are blowing up in America are just little guys trying to compete with the big guys. And they also, see, North Korea, they just pull people off the street, right, and put them in these forced prison camps, and they do all kinds of bad things, eventually killing them. It's horrible. My question is, like, why is this going on? Why is the free world allowing this? Where the heck is the Pope when all this is in the news and it's obvious there's probably worse things going on more and more? How do people like this guy in Korea, his life is sex and drugs, and like his father, if they're making meth? I think they just kicked his uncle out of the government for being too corrupt. I don't know how you can be too corrupt, right? That kind of thing. But North Korea is like, oh, they're just like everybody else. Money hungry and filled with sex. I mean, the kid's father, Park, I think his name, his last name is Park, the guy's father imported people, you know, blonde hair, blue eyed, to perform for him. No different than Bin Laden, who they found porn in his man cave. And how does the world let so-called leaders get away with all these tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of murders of their people, extermination of their own people? How does a free world, how does an empowered world, how does a world that critically thinks turn their back and say, oh, well, that's the way it is? Pol Pot over there in Southeast Asia, over there, not over there, in Southeast Asia, Ceausescu in Europe. What's going on? Modern times. What's going on? How does this happen? How does it continue to happen? And why? And we know why. Because money. That's why. Power, control, and money. Smart politicians take $3 of your tax money. The smart ones put two of it back in the city or the place where they are a leader, right? They keep a buck for themselves. And people are all right with that. Right? Because with that buck, maybe the politician does some more good for the community and the people and himself. Because, you know, bribes, graft, and corruption is all part of it. People are going to lie, cheat, and steal no matter what. Give them the opportunity, they will. Every week I got buckets of embezzlements and cheating, and I don't want to bore you with who did what and all this stuff. It's out there. You just have to find it. And you don't have to go too far. But, you know, with the money, I remember there was a mayor in Chicago did not get reelected because the promise wasn't kept. The promise was, again, the money went back into the city, but it didn't in this time. I think it was in the 80s, late 70s or 80s, I'm not sure. They had tremendous snowstorms out there, and the mayor got on TV and said, move your cars off the street, do this, do that, do all these little simple things before the storm comes, and we will have the streets plowed. We'll get everything up and running. Well, the mayor didn't. The mayor didn't get reelected. And a new person came in, right? That's all it took. Services. People don't care if you steal from them as long as you take care of their garbage, their snow, and everything else. The parks have places for kids to play. Although back in those days, that was probably the beginning when kids were super supervised at playgrounds. They weren't allowed to go out on their own, right? Maybe that was the beginning of it, the 70s and 80s, when all the bad guys who should be put away are back on the streets doing the things they shouldn't be doing to keep us not in a position to become empowered, to take it from us, right? Not good. So let them take the money. We know they're going to take it anyway. Some of them are upfront about it. Look at this guy up in Canada, right? Terrible. And he has my last name. No relation. don't want to do what he does. He'll probably get reelected. He'll probably write a book. They might make a movie out of him. He'll get a lot of money for being a dirtbag. Right? For doing things for another one, another leader out there, not leading, telling you to do one thing, stay clean and healthy, don't steal, be a moral person. And he's out there doing everything else. Right? Who knows what the women in his world have to say, or the men. I don't know what's going on up there. It's not a good thing. Terrible role modeling. I hope kids don't, you know, if kids were out playing and becoming empowered and learning how to live life lessons, and as a youth, they carried over into their elder years, they wouldn't be worrying about all this stuff. You wouldn't have people like me bringing this stuff up, right? As examples, because examples are the best explanations. Just as excuses describe failure and reasons define success, examples are the best explanations of whatever's going on. We had one here about the NSA. Here we're going back. Oh, North Korea, you know, sex and drugs. I'm not sure if they're into rock and roll. They might have an underground rock and roll, probably a lot of rave clubs up there. I guess Rodman is bringing that over to them. Hey, man, you got all the drugs. We got all the sex for you guys, not for everybody else. We just have everybody else march in straight lines and grab people off the streets randomly and put them up in forced labor camps. But now we'll introduce some rock and roll so you can really have the American dream at your disposal. Maybe he's doing that PR work. I don't know. But the NSA, and I'm reading from a something. I forget. It's here somewhere. But anyway, it's in. The National Security Agency has been gathering records of online sexual activity and evidence of visits to pornographic websites as part of a proposed plan to harm the reputations of those whom the agency believes are radicalizing. I don't know what that is, radicalizing. Is that like athleticism? Is that like normalcy? Where do they come up with these words? Radicalizing others through incendiary speeches, according to top secret NSA documents. That has to do with the Snowden case. But this is what people are doing. They're investigating their sexual stuff, right? And one of the cliches we all talk about is all in. And I always jokingly say, well, most guys never get all in or can't get all in, which is why they need that blue pill to help them when they should be using yeast. They get a better rise out of it. It won't last 4 hours, but it might taste better for whatever you're doing. But what the heck is that about? So since we know sex is a big part of our existence out here, that's the lowest common denominator we go to investigate people. We can't get anything else on them. They got Capone on tax evasion. They can't get anything else, so they go to their sexual habits and their radicalizing influences there. I don't know where that stuff comes from, but it's bizarre, very bizarre. We want to leave on a happy note, if I can find one. Oh, this is a little bit of bias towards teachers, but I think it's something you need to know. The average teacher salary is about $50,000 a year. And in the new age of teaching, they're going to get that salary, maybe as starting teachers, but they're going to stay there for many years, maybe up to 10 years. Very little pay raise, if any. Is that a lot of money for those who only work 9 months a year? But if you actually sit down with the teacher and talk to them and find out what they spend on their own that they're not reimbursed for and almost forced to do so by the Board of Education to make their classes work and have stuff for their kids to do, supplies and all that stuff, they work 12 to 16 hours a day. If you include, like, they have to go shopping for all this stuff, they have to bring it in the house, take it out of the house, take it to school, bring it into school, et cetera, et cetera. And don't talk about grading papers, right? Not good. Not good. The teacher's time is wasted too much. They're wasting their time on doing things for the kids that experts want them to do. One of them is which is not play. Teaching to the test. Right? 12 to 16 hours a day for a teacher. That doesn't work. You know, the average work day is 8 hours. Some is an 8 hour standard teaching day with preparation periods and other kinds of lunch duty or something. But they usually come in an hour before and stay an hour after. And if you go to teacher night at your school, you'll find out that's what they do to provide extra help for your kids. But I don't know how many people want to work for free. Certainly none of the parents who send their kids to school. Right? They don't want to do that, but they expect the teachers to do that because they only work 9 months a year, right? And they spend 3 to 5 hours a day planning, grading, answering emails, making phone calls, having meetings with kids and their fellow teachers and administrators and all that. It's just not a good situation for the teachers. So let's respect them because they do something we don't want to do. They spend more time with your kids than you do. And the time you spend with your kids is usually unproductive. Usually unproductive. Anyway, that's our show for tonight. This is Marty Ford on bbsradio.com. You didn't call in tonight. I was expecting some calls, but you can still email me at hamp73@gmail.com. hamp73@gmail.com. This is Marty Ford, live from Bozo's Bar and Grill in Tonsawatch Station, saying the same thing we say every week when we sign off. Power up your power, because the power is in you.